Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is an article from Teaching Science, the journal of the Australian Science Teachers Association. This will probably be the death of this podcast, because people say, oh, this is so off the mainstream popular science, but it's worthwhile. And as a science teacher, you want to get through, and I'll give a few comments on this. Now, this article's under Try This Rock Wonder. Now, you have to sort of understand there's a difference from academic publications and teacher publications. Teachers are a community of practice. So when they it's sort of like teaching a dancer, they'll see if in their mind they'll try the dance move. And so when you're communicating with teachers, there's the in the mind, they'll try and actually implement these things, and they like to see how it plays out. And this is not because they're dumb, because they understand on so many levels. They've got the experience of actually teaching. They sort of imagine this, and it's not an academic process. They run it through their head and process it. And, you know, all that work with this student or this class, they sort of... the imagining of it. Now, this is a great asset, but it was also a great curse, because in doing that, in playing through the dance, the teaching in their head, they have a whole series of structures in their head, which is, say, the theatre, say, in the dancing, the theatre, performance, the night, and all this type of stuff. Teachers have a whole thing in their head of theories, schools, models, and stuff like that, which sort of stands in the way of, you know, taking a small bit, deconstructing it, and improving it. So I've got to just read this to you. This is by Christine Preston, and there might be a bit of a story about her. And it's under this Try This A Rock Wonder. And I'll see if I can explain a few things. Through preschool and foundation level, children are confident in their knowledge about rocks. So it's a beautiful opening thing. It's a statement about confidence, but it's introduced it. So I like that as a thing. 5 to 6 year olds have firm. So these are, you know, questions that you might have about that first sentence, like what's preschool, and we'll do it. So this is well structured already. 5 to 6 year olds have firm ideas about what they consider rocks are and where they might be found. Preston. By herself, she's an article she wrote last year. With the exception of children who are avid rock collectors, so they have a Harvard-style citation system with the author and date. With the exception of children who are avid rock collectors, such knowledge usually comprises general inconsistent ideas formed from everyday experiences. So this is the general idea that science... it wants to get people... The theory of Australian science is that you... it's not simply data dumping, it's people to sort of recognise their own scientific knowledge and improve it. And that children often have ideas which make sense in the world to them, you know, rules that they've developed. Natural rules and science rules are a bit more complex than that. Young children's knowledge, general and scientific vocabulary and inquiry skills can be expanded through guided inquiry and strategic discussion about rocks. So that's what... this is a sort of a statement of what teachers are trying to do. And so they're trying to increase the level. So we have in Australia something called SOLO, Structured Outcomes of Learning Objectives. It's a taxonomy. It's a way of seeing are people thinking, you know, are they putting A plus B equals C, and are they injecting science into it? Structured observation of learning outcomes. There you go. So it's a way of doing it. Okay. In this article, a range of ideas for exploring rocks are outlined with links to the Australian Curriculum Science, ACARA, 2016. Are you okay there, Ruby? Okay. So, the Australian Curriculum is sort of like typical of anything in Australia. Now, you've just got to understand every education jurisdiction has a curriculum, and they're just going around the world on a rough count. I count 2,000 education jurisdictions easily, and each of these have a curriculum, and each curriculum lasts about 20 years around that time before they're totally rewritten. And so you just do the maths, that's a huge number of curriculums being written all the time. And there's sort of, they bring in theories and have structures, and they don't, and they do all. So it's a fascinating thing, and it's an amazing quantity of parallel work, sort of circular whirlpool of work compared to scientific knowledge, which is sort of pushed up to the forefront, and rightly so, because you can't teach a toddler forefront stuff. You know, you have to, you need this circular type of stuff. So it's okay for me. Science inquiry skills, and that's capital S, science inquiry skills, and science as a human endeavor, content strands. So they have, I think, 7 strands. It's structured to go through. Are you okay there, Rupert? It's structured to go through. What's wrong? Do you want me to drive you now? Oh, okay. So my kids are going off to school now. So yeah, you've got a curriculum that has strands, and one's called science and science inquiry skills. The other is science as a human endeavour. Yeah, for me, I think I find it very interesting because they miss the actual nub of what science is. Like, science is allowing nature, or the natural world, to be a community member would be my thing, and as such, as sort of like, it's come full circle. We had nature being interpreted as spirits, and in my head, it's going back and recognizing it's not a spirit, but it requires community respect. So as I would respect a person's wishes, you sort of respect nature's wishes and get to know it as a complex person. So it's, you know, it's rather, for me, it's rather complex in terms of, you know, initially we had a spirit world, everything was caused by spirits, and then we went away from it, and then I think when you get into deep science, you get back to the idea that my relationship with this body of knowledge and structure and social thing is actually a personal relationship. I can't really describe it very well. So in a certain sense, it's sort of the Australian curriculum is frozen at a moment in time, just before we go any deeper into understanding science. A reference to research emphasises how learning experiences like these contribute to young children's development and foundational understanding of scientific phenomena. High levels of student engagement are fostered through child-relatable exploration with rocks, where they find answers to personal questions. And this is... they have a sort of a framework that, as a teacher, they learn by their context and applying it to their world, and it works with children, but then teachers themselves are restricted to it. Okay, goodbye, Rupert. Have a lovely day. Goodbye, Guineas. Have you got lovely water? Okay, sorry about that. It's sort of very hard for teachers to recognise that they've got a limited way of working with information, because that's the way that they teach. So they teach to a student, and they create about a proximal zone, a structure, and the assessment method. But then when they turn around themselves, they're within this structure, and this structure makes them very compliant. They sort of almost invoke the corruption which is around them, because they've got this limited way of of being tamed and domesticated by thinking about the proximal zone around a child and their experiences relevant to them, that when you, as a teacher, you say, well, what about these new ideas? What about the structures? They can't. They ask, well, how is it relevant to me? How is it relevant to my world? And so the rules they use for teaching is crosses over to the rules of thinking. So it's very interesting. Now, here's basically for teachers. They've got the teacher's questions and the source of the question. So the this is another insight. There's Brit Observe Explain. It's whether you answer the question or do you answer the question with another question to keep that question going. Now, this is to a fault. People sort of complained that I never answered questions. I always answered with more questions. I made them think. And for students who are very highly tutored, with entire structure for exams, they just wanted to get the answer, to record the answer and memorize the answer and move in the exam. So that's sort of education which is slightly different. That would be training or mimicry or drill, that level of things. Of course you can do it and there's a place for it, but here, so we'll just go through here the teacher's questions. And it's interesting, it's the two columns here, teacher's questions and source of questions. It's also very interesting that, for me, how they've drawn this table. So they've drawn this table the way that teachers draw tables. Are you okay? Ceci, do you want to drive? Or are you okay? Are you okay? Do you want to drive? Pardon? Okay. So welcome back. I know it's no time at all in podcast time, but I've been out taking my daughter to school, etc. And we're reading this article called Rock Wonder, and just looking at the fact that there's a mode of teaching where you keep everything within the proximal zone. That is, if a student is left behind, they're left behind. They don't have the resources to, or necessarily move forward. And this sort of trips over to, if that logic works on how I teach, how myself I learn, is that I have these expectations that things will be taught to me and put in my proximal zone and stuff like that. And of course, that works for the majority of society, but for researchers who have a sense of what they don't know and this self-evolution to actually go out in there and learn, that doesn't really interface. Now let's look at this, the teacher's questions being a source of the question. I like this. It's linking science learning with children's interests. Okay, the teacher's question, what do you know about rocks? Source of the question, some rocks come from volcanoes. Where can you find them? I find sand rocks in my garden. My mum has a rock necklace called jade. Do you know the names of any rocks? Okay, question. I'll do the teacher's question first. What kind of rocks are found around here? Some sticky rocks are behind the tennis court. Do rocks change or stay the same? Rocks are just rocks. They can't do anything. How did Isabel's rocks get into the water, into the river? There are rocks under the water and in the sea. Why do Isabel's rocks have rounded edges? They are made that way. They are made that way. It's not a source of the the source of the question. What is something interesting about rocks? Rocks are really hard. You can't break them. So this is sort of expanding an observation up into an interest point. What do you wonder about rocks? I wonder why some rocks are crystals. Okay, well, there you can see it's sort of a mechanical view, but the general view is to generate, or when someone asks a question, you don't want to answer it because it shuts it down and they move on. Yeah, that's a general thing. So I think that's an interesting thing. Now, it's for me, it's interesting in that the script here in the Stitches magazine does not follow the conventions of, say, those different standards, style guides, the research physics style guide, the science writing style guide would not say that you write a table like this, but this is very much the way that tables are taught in schools. And so this, for me, gives it an example. The initial idea for this teaching sequence came from the children. Isabel brought two small rocks she had found in the river to talk about them in her kindergarten news time. Other children were rapt. They listened with genuine interest, and their hands shot up to ask questions. Where did they come from? Did you find them yourself? How many rocks do you have? Do you have any fossil rocks? What do they look like when they're wet? The teachers, a class teacher and a science specialist team teaching, also ask questions to probe the children's prior knowledge. Table 1 shows some teacher questions with sample responses. Okay, so this is the idea of team teaching. Of course, this is, you know, just bizarre. It was obvious that the children were interested in rocks, had personal experience with natural objects, and were developing ideas about the natural phenomena that they were keen to share. The question and responses sparked ideas for scientific investigations to build on the children's interest and simulate further learning about rocks. Well, yeah. And now, I suppose the interesting thing is that working out what to do takes obviously a little bit of reflection time, but if you've got a timetable and scale and a program to go to, it doesn't necessarily come out that way. Okay, linking science learning to children's interests is important to ensure that the ideas are deemed relevant and worthwhile, which is good going downstream, but you yourself have to actually, as a teacher, have to expand that. So if you speak to a teacher and they're not interested, they just shut down and walk away. Well, that's okay, that's what their students do, but, you know, we're professionals, we have to go a bit further than that. Rocks make a great context for young children who seem to find them intriguing. Context, I love that statement, you know. That's just a statement that's sort of like Jemima Puddle Duck was a simpleton, you know. It's something beautiful, you can't argue with it. Context selection is a key component of teacher planning, and exploring rocks can potentially promote scientific worldview. Oxley, Dawes, Nichols, Nickel and Dawes, Another Door, in 2014. So there's an article. Let's see what the article actually is, 2014 article, and see what the grade of stuff is. Let's see what references. The thing is, textbooks have no references. Oh, God, Loxley. Okay, teaching primary science, subject knowledge and ideas for practice. Well, it's just really poorly structured, as far as I can see. We are confident this was a good choice because in early years, quote, children have a natural tendency to enjoy observing and thinking about nature. Okay, now, that is a quote from a source, Campbell and Howard, 2015, page 11. My only question is that that's almost a reference for reference sake. Because that's the same level. Surely you could find someone else to say something else. Rocks have, it's not sort of a critical, it's sort of just a soundbite rather than actually a conclusion or a logic or a reasoned thought in an argument. I don't know, that's my general things. Rocks have enormous potential for engaging young learners and can be used in many different ways to promote scientific thinking. I'd actually scrap that sentence. Using a part of the local government's as environment as objects of wonder help raise the children's awareness about aspects of science that can easily be overlooked. Pedagogically, this is an example of, quote, planning in the moment by F. Grave, 2018. Well, Yeah, this is a major thing, is that teachers have to, you are an entertainer, a stand-up comedian, you've got to actually think and move along and have a tendency. You used an early childhood where teachers follow the children's ideas and plan around their interests. Your job is then to guide and support the children's self-inquiry about the topic of interest. In this case, rocks. Okay, well, she's done a lot on rocks. She's a science thing on rocks. I have questions, but here, there's some good things here. The idea for learning experience involving rocks from the unit of work that resulted are outlined using three-stage framework for learning science. These stages are exploratory. The children are puzzled, intrigued, involved at the quest. So this is your opening question. I think someone's told me the five E's. People got these basic things all roughly in my head. Redescribing, the children explores ways of resolving the dilemma by developing an understanding of the situation from a scientific point of view. Yeah, you really have got to have a, each lesson has to be a story, the introduction and a resolution in which they've learned. Okay, now, and then play. You resolve and then you continue to play from it. That's my overview. But let's listen to this. Application. The children are provided with opportunities to appreciate the usefulness of their new scientific understanding by applying their context to other contexts. Yeah, I think that's the true... It's learning, it's the application to other contexts. Teachers interested in detailed teaching plans for these related learning experiences can see Preston at 2018 pages, whatever they are. Now, my page is 504, it's not going to be useful unless I read these articles all the way back. But that's exactly what teachers, they're very good at one section, but they're not good at sort of high-level analysis. So they're very good at knowing what works with the kids, and they can follow a recipe, but they can't necessarily understand at a level that they can actually create from raw ingredients. Okay, now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what the education system is. We have got those people who can do other things, doing other things. Sort of teachers are left to do that. Okay, exploratory stage. So we're going to go through these stages. Following the account of what happened, when the authors tried the recommended activities for themselves. Okay, so... the following is an account. So the authors, the two teachers, I think it's authors, but there's only one author there. A poor person got knocked out, so look, I don't want to be involved in this. The other teacher. And so they tried it, the teachers tried it for themselves, which is good. The teacher set the scene for the children's learning by showing their class pet rocks. I'll try the recommended activities. So they were recommended activities up there, and the class teacher held up rocks that she keeps on her desk. The science teacher had a rock in her pocket. They asked the children, quote, "What makes you want to keep these rocks as pets?" Each child called the talk with the other child about what might be special about these rocks. Children's ideas were shared through the discussion using the following talking points. What I was going to say is that it's think, pair, share. So you think, you pair, and then you share it with the class. So sort of a way of sort of eliciting thoughts. But here's a following. What can a rock really be a pet? How can keeping a rock be like a pet? How is keeping a rock not like a pet? What might be special about these rocks? And so this is, the concept. This is an example of a concept. This is definition of concept. This is an example. This is an example. This is not an example. And then apply it. Concept teaching 101. The teacher told the children she wanted to play a trick. She showed a box of small rocks, figure one, in which she hid the science teacher's pet rock. Smiling, quote, and this is really important because all the way going back, the this is theatre, but reading back papers from the 1930s, they also say smiling. So this, although you wouldn't write this in a scientific paper, it says, smiling, the teacher, class teacher said, quote, you'll never be able to find your pet rock in here. The children were surprised when the science teacher looked inside, moved some rocks, quickly felt one or two, and exclaimed, here it is, you can't trick me. How she did this was also discussed using talking points. This is a demonstration. Now, this is interesting that I went to town on this science video based on this. It's because it's very easy for this role play for people who are quite... stupid, non-scientific, to just inject complete rubbish into the kids' heads. So this is, it's sort of like preparing food or medicine. There's a certain hygiene that has to go through. Here's the talking points. I wonder how she could tell where the rocks was her. What clues might she have used? What senses did she find to use the rocks? And how did she tell the rocks apart? And so this is really breaking it apart. And this is, I suppose, mindstorming, think pest, brainstorming it, did I say? And doing a mind map on the board. Could be, it's sort of almost no pedagogical value for them to copy that mind map into the book. Each child was given a rock to adopt as their pet. Individually, they explored the rock using their senses, drew a picture and wrote down the words to describe it. I really hated that. I had to get the children producing science books so they could study from them. Just make me vomit. Okay, as a scientist, I find that just really devastatingly hard to do. Surely I can teach them as the way I do science. Okay, next the children took turns to see if they could find their pet when all the rocks were mixed together. The talking point reinforced the children's observation and use of descriptive language. Often you have to model an activity first. Now, the interesting thing I do from modelling activity is from weapons training, where you get everyone up and there's a series of things that you describe in detail what happens, then you actually demonstrate it, watch now a complete demonstration of, and then any questions at the end. It's an important point. Do you know what is your rock? Here's the talking points. What features of the rock made it recognizable? What senses did you help find the rock? What could make it tricky to find your rock? And this is all quite good, these talking points. This phase has created a puzzle for the children to solve. How can we tell our pet rock apart from other rocks? And there's always got to be a thing to resolve in each lesson, something to a issue to resolve. Otherwise, it's absolutely dead boring, sort of. More notes. If there's something challenging to resolve for them. What features are similar or different between, except there's some students who are highly stressed and you've got to work out that, or there's students who've got very low tolerance, they want the answers. What features are similar or different between rocks? The activity helps the children realize that there is more to rocks than first meets the eye. They begin to look beyond the general descriptors to particular features. Children realize that all rocks look the same and that particular characteristics can be used to distinguish between different specimens. As children talk about the rocks, quote, they, quote, pose and respond to questions about familiar objects and events and, quote, share observation and ideas, which help develop science inquiry skills for foundation-level students. There was a really good activity where there were different stations and the people had to go around in the different stations observing the rocks and classifying them as, the various levels or what they could find out about them. It was good. Unfortunately, I'd like to ask that teacher what it was. This phase helps frame the children's, and reminds me in that this is just complete. This is pre-internet, pre-information technology thing. There's all these ideas, and no one can. It's just a mess, isn't it? You may have to listen to this for years. It's quite good that they show sample drawings of and words to describe their rocks. It's quite good. They show the pictures there, and of course I have scanners to do this. Okay, this phase develops to frame the children's learning and provides opportunities for children to talk about rocks in their own words. Loxley et al. 2014, page 7. You mentioned pages and pages of literature. Authentic integration of English curriculum occurs throughout the task as the children listen to, quote, the communications of others in informal and structured classroom situations, ACARA 2018B, you know, whatever that is, that's some part of the syllabus. Verbally sharing observations about their rocks, quote, they may help the children to clarify their own ideas. Johnson, 2015, page 75. Again, as a that's almost like cut and paste thing. It's not saying what Johnson said as an idea. They're just quoting them. And I did find, I think in Parklets and Larrington's, they quoted, and they quoted bits of this article from, you know, this research, German research article, and the research article saying the sentence was "don't do blah blah blah," and they included the quote "blah blah blah." So you really need the context to get across. Research with preschoolers also shows young learners can generate descriptive words from handling rocks. For example, bumpy, smooth, soft, glassy, crumbly, rough, hard, pointy, layered, and various coloured words. Trundle and mirror. So it's just showing that I've done a lot of research. The context of pet rock is interesting and familiar to children. Contexts make the learning meaningful, support children's learning, play-based pedagogy, and was implemented. I think that's good. It's called... this is my memory thing. It's called... it'll come to me at some stage. These are levels of learning. Piaget's levels of learning, saying, which is just, it's not like an operating system. Is the library worth it in terms of understanding it? So none of this theory is tested in control group. Like, there's no control experiments in here. That you teach a certain group of teachers with Piaget, a certain teacher with that, you don't know which what, and then you, like, they've got no idea of double-blind experiments ever. Okay. Teachers source materials set the scene, model the behaviour, and guide the inquiry. That is right. Their model behaviour is good. Children pretended the rocks were pets, enacting an imaginative scenario while exploring the objects and developing new ideas about them. Play pedagogy supports the science of learning by helping children collect similar experiences in learning. Observations frequently spark children's interest in the world. Initially, sensory inputs arouses their interest and urges them to explore. There is also beneficial social interaction involved, as previously recognised by Johnson, 2015. Practical exploration that builds on previous knowledge allows the children to learn alongside their peers and educators. So, that's sort of thing. I really have to remember... Yeah, I've got all this thing which I just on the tip of my head remembering. I had a way that they would fold out a question and answer and more information, you know, a deeper insight information peeling out. But I think I got my kids to pick, you know, bring in any rock they could find that was of interest. This is at year 9 level, and we would locate it where it was, on a map and stuff like that. Okay, and I sort of had activities making chocolate sedimentary layers, which they ate, and various chocolate rock things. Okay, the scribing stage. Teacher sat down with a cup of tea in front of the class, pretending to be having a chat in the staff room at recess. The class teacher said, "My brother lives in Western Australia. He's a geologist and works in Goulburn, Kalgoorlie." The science teacher said, "My cousin Sharon used to work there too, and then she moved to Queensland. As an exploration geologist, she gave me a box of really interesting rocks." Smiling, the class teacher then said, "I have a few rocks at home that my children collected. I wonder if the kindergarten class would like to explore them." Talking points elicited children's ideas. So this is like make-believe. It's quite good. The talking points. What do science geologists focus on? Do you have any questions about rocks? What might be interesting about these rocks? The children were organized into small groups to explore selected rocks. Figure 4. Holding up magnifying glass, the teacher asked, quote, "Would you like to be rock spies and find out interesting about the rocks?" The science teacher then explained, "These tools can help us take a closer look inside the rocks." Teachers then demonstrated and collected correct use and care of magnifying glass to avoid scratching it prior to exploring the rocks. Yeah, I'd do it. One of the things is, perhaps if you have it, this is one, the value of damaged equipment is that you can bring it out and people just make negative comments about it, and then you say, "Well, that's now I've kept this magnifying glass or this microphone because a student has mistreated it and broken it. I've left it there," so you don't have to break it and learn it. You can work it yourself. Okay, here's a safety note. Warn children not to look at the sun or bright lights with a magnifying glass to avoid possible eye damage. Guard against breakage and possible cuts with glass. Or seriously, my friend, if that's a problem, you really should be having, plastic. If that is a problem, you really should have plastic magnifying glasses or Fresnel magnifying lenses myself. As children went about exploring the rocks, sees figures 5 and 6, the teachers circulated, supervising their work and using talking points to discuss their observation. This is talking points. Are the rocks the same colours inside? Do some rocks have markings or patterns? How do rocks look when wet? What do rocks feel? Do all rocks feel the same? What makes a rock feel rough or smooth? Which is, these are questions which the kid answers, and it's a bit of a dead end myself. To consolidate their learning, teachers encourage children to share their discoveries. A class teacher then held up a pink rock and asked, "What colour is this one? Is it shiny or dull?" The science teacher then held up a multicoloured rock and said, "There are shiny pink bits of rocks mixed in with our colours. I wonder if the same pink stuff is that rock." Talking point continued discussions. What is inside rocks? All rocks are made of the same stuff. What was similar or different about these rocks? Are all rocks hard? So one of the things I wanted to say is that essentially everything forms into a compound except glass, a fixed stoichiometric compound, and being able to break the rocks up to access that stoichiometric ratio is a mineral. So all rocks composed of minerals, and where there's a combination of minerals, and where a particular mineral is commercial value, it's an ore. Those are all definitions, just talking points. So they're not learning points, they're just thinking guides. You don't necessarily have to get it. It's, where you have to do it. So I think there's a thing where you have chocolate chip cookies and you break them up to get the chocolate chips out. And, a chocolate chip cookie is equivalent to a rock, and the crumbs either side are ores, are minerals, and, there's a commercial amount of chocolate at the end of it. Okay. When they wet rocks to see if they look different, some children noticed small pieces fell off one type of rock. They talked about the rocks being soft and easy to break. Some children said they were surprised them because they thought all rocks were hard. One child likened this rock to crumbly cookie, saying, "When you bite it, bits fall off everywhere." Now, one of the things I wanted to say is that one is elephants and various animals eat rocks for salt and mineral. They directly eat them. And birds eat rocks in their gizzards cassowaries, various birds. Yeah, so they've got different things. And you actually make your own rock is your teeth. Yeah, your calcium phosphate crystal rocks are your teeth. Okay. Now, the class teacher snapped a piece of sandstone to show how easily it could break. The science teacher picked up some of the small pieces and asked, "What are these pieces of rock?" One child answered, "They're just small rocks." Another said that they're pebbles, while yet another child argued, "No, really, small bits of sand." More discussion ensued. Now, what I wanted to say is that this is, you've got pumice and stuff like that, but sand and clay and pebbles and cobbles and boulders are all diameter measurements of rocks. So you could have clay. You can make sand out of clay by getting a clay pot, firing it, and then breaking it up so it's no longer nanoparticles. This is just a general thing, and it's one of those things that in this closed play world that teachers live in, you can't tell them modern science. It's just a nightmare. Okay, talking points. Why can some rocks fall apart easily? What happens to bits of rocks? Where do we find sandy rocks? Is a beach sand like sand in rocks? Now, of course, each lesson I had to collect data of evidence of learning. Some children wondered if they could use rocks to make a beach. They talked about needing a lot of rocks, getting tired from brushing off all the sand and getting sore hands. And the class teacher then thought out loud, "We need a tool to help us." The teacher, science teacher, then said, "I have just the thing." While producing a mortar and pestle, she explained it was made of hard rock. Some children said they had one like this at home for grinding spices. Wearing safety glasses to protect their eyes, the children took turns using the tool to grind sand rocks into beach, into a beach, which is a sort of important thing. I suppose the important thing I do is I have a little USB microscope, and there's sort of builder's sand and jumping pit sand. Now, jumping pit sand is different, and it's also understanding sand is white because of the scratch marks on the clear quartz. Okay, talking points. And so the sand is actually see-through when you magnify it. What actions are needed to use the tool? Why were the grains left behind? Is the sand from all rocks the same colour? Do you think this is how sand is made in nature? Sand is important. And kids, I'll keep going through. It's a page and a bit. It just really gets me some of this. After admiring their beach, children wondered if the sand could be a rock again. Class discussion revealed prior knowledge of using clay that goes hard when it dries, or grout used to stick mosaic tiles and art. Teachers provided some resources for the children to explore different ways of making grains stick together. Children discovered water just did not work. Clay was really good but messy, and glue worked fine as well. Figure 8 showed some steps that the children used to make rocks to finish rocks. There's the pictures. What I wanted to say is that I'd have an activity where we make sandstone with sand and sugar come together, and basically sandstone is basically glass, heated glass. Fritz, we call it a frit, is a the nanomaterials which then form a glass. And the glass. So basically, sandstone is huge amounts of glass. Okay, the children, the frit, the nanomaterials have a low melting point, so the quartz doesn't melt, but the sand melts around the outside. So the addition of impurities lower the melting point, so you basically get very fine sand, I think sodium and various things to make soda glass, or soda glasses. Sodium lowers the temperature so much that it drops down. Children evaluated their made rocks by holding them in their hands and poking them with their fingers and squeezing them just as they held together and fell apart. Talking points. Do you feel... why do you feel like rocks? Do they feel like rocks? Do they look like rocks? And where could the sand and clay mix together in nature all the time in sandstone? What might be the cause to mix to make it go hard? The stage started the conversation that personalised the learning experience. Young children, especially girls, are interested in people side of science. Oh, yeah. The conversation... I'd probably put that as a male deficit rather than a female attribute. The conversation was also strategically gender balanced by teachers so that children did not get the false impression that only males could become geologists. And so what I do, I have to ask one boy, one girl, one boy, one girl, one boy, one girl. It's just rigorous to ensure there's no gender bias. Now, the choice of tasks and strategies in the phases need to be carefully matched to the scientific ideas being taught to the children's existing knowledge and experience. Yeah, basically, there's no point if you can actually reinforce a misconception by teaching a new concept without addressing the old one. This is what the research has shown. Children contextualise their talks by allowing them to gain experience of using scientific language. Active use of science words to communicate with others assists in understanding and widens their vocabulary. I actually do think it's a game of, you know, let's science this up. You know, let's use, and you clap when someone uses an even more scientific, I hypothesise, I blah, 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 blah. Clap, just make a bit of a joke out of it. The learning experience helped the children focus on certain features of rocks that are important to scientists. They learned to look for these features, e.g. crystals, grains. The same came up with mixed coloured patterns, inclusions, as how well the rocks hold together. For young children, we are not concerned about what types of rocks in sedimentary metamorphics the children are exploring, or even what they are called, granite, basalt, sandstone. The emphasis is observing features, including similarities and differences that make rock interesting. The skills focus is aimed at equipping students to gather information about the world around them, ACARA 2018. In these tasks, the children's quote, participate in guided investigations, make observations using sensors, and engage in discussions about observation and represent ideas. How are we going for time here? Okay, I've got heaps of time. Whilst there is no mandated knowledge and understanding about rocks in the foundation level, ideas can be developed as a precursor for later learning in year four. And so you do have this idea that legally, by law, there's mandated knowledge that every Australian must know. There you go. Whilst there's... okay. The realisation that not all rocks are the same helps children appreciate the diversity and start to wonder about why rocks vary and how they got to be how they are. Children also begin to understand that rocks do not always stay the same. Rocks can get broken up by natural forces and human impact, and bits can make sand or soil. I think this is so. It's just, yeah. Application of knowledge. The teachers showed the children a storybook titled Spencer and the Rocks and began reading as follows. Quote, one day, Spencer picked up rocks and wiped dirt off it. The first rock looked like any other rocks, but more Spencer wiped the rock, the more interesting the rock became. Suddenly, a spot on the rock began to glitter in the sun. Tiny flecks that looked like glass were stuck to the rock. Spencer began to wonder if all rocks had hidden surprises. Oh, dear. It's NSTA Kids, I Wonder Why books, the book cover, by Lawrence E. Lowry. They quote him as a Lowry book, oh my god. Throughout the reading, talking points were discussed. Why did Spencer collect rocks? What features did Spencer notice about his rocks? Where did Spencer find his rocks? What ways did Spencer group his rocks? How did Spencer learn about rocks? How did Spencer wonder about how similar things to you? After applying their learning to the book reading, the teachers conducted brainstorming sessions to record what the children had learnt from their rock explorations. It was obvious that their original ideas had changed from the everyday to more scientific ideas. This is where you really need reflective journals, or you are just pissing in the wind. So you really basically got to get the kid to write what they have learnt. Original ideas: grey or brown, hard or heavy, jagged, rough, made of rock, mostly the same. Scientific ideas: many colours and patterns, hard, soft, light, jagged, rounded, smooth, rough, made of crystals, grains, small rocks, different in many ways. It will be a change. The teacher then held up two rocks that the children had not observed previously. She then told the science teacher, we could add these to our rock collection, but I don't know if they are real. They appealed to the class to help them make observations to decide if the rocks were natural. That means, of course, they're real. Talking points considered how these new problems could be solved, reinforcing the children's learnt skills. How will she be able to tell if these rocks are natural? What senses can we use to observe and compare rocks? What clues from previous observations might help us? How are the rocks similar or different to other rocks? What makes you think these rocks are or are not natural? The next phase involved the children applying their learnt knowledge and skills to new situations. In the first task, learning is applied in a cross-curricular context, a storybook about the boy who starts collecting rocks and finds new ways to learn about them. Lowry, 2013, mirrors the children's learning experiences. His narrative style conveys a sense of wonder that fuels a boy's question into great aspects of the English curriculum. For example, the foundation year content descriptors children's that recognise, quote, that stories and information texts have different purposes and share feelings and thoughts about events, characters and texts. The children can also demonstrate an understanding about how rocks develop from doing science, using science inquiry skills. So doing science is from the Science Academy. As they show insights into what the character does in the book, the children appreciate how their expectation of rocks enabled them to add meaning to the narrative. The purpose of brainstorming activity was to document shared learning of the class and provide effective feedback to the children during their explorations. This process makes explicit value of science learning. If children understand that rocks and other objects are observable properties that can be used to tell them apart, they can use the knowledge in other situations. This will reinforce the final learning experience with, quote, problem rocks that the children appreciate the explanatory power of their knowledge and skills in new situations not previously explored. Yeah. You know, what I like finding treasure in a sand pit. You can all do this type of thing. Conclusion. The sequence of learning experiences emulates the science and human endeavour substrand of the Australian curriculum. Science regarding the nature and development of science. Science involves asking questions. The children are involved in recognising that observation is an important part of exploring, investigating the things and places around us. Sharing observations with others and communicating their experiences. I was going to say that there is one aspect of science which is exploration. There's another part of science is conversion, is qualification. So I'll go into that in a little while. Clearly, to successful use of the children's interests as springboards to a series of lessons like these is to encourage them to build their own natural curiosity. We must not let prescriptive teaching override the wonder and joy of children discovering the ideas for themselves. The teacher's role is to set up learning situations and stand back, let them go and talk about what they have discovered. I was just going to say is that there's obviously a view of a scientist doing this, but that's only one small aspect. They convert lots. There's this scientific sub-process of converting, upgrading observations, bits of, you build material, you build equipment, you build observations. There's this constructive aspect of science. And so you will employ a scientist to make an observation, to make a report. And this is like in a court, a policeman will make a report on you, and that's got more weight. So I'll describe it through. So that's one article, and I think that's quite good. It sort of just brings back, you know, just how much I have to remember and learn to do it. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.